Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, so we are here with Alan, Mira, Sharp, and Zuri. I can't remember your guys' actual names. I just know you as your characters. So sorry about that.
Which sucks, because when he sends out the checks, that's what they go to.
Well, that doesn't bug me. I changed my name already.
It's official. Birth certificate.
New soul and everything.
Yeah, great. I got it.
So today we are doing a cast commentary. We're going to listen to one of our episodes, and we're all going to just share stories about it and talk about our own reactions to the show. So hope you guys enjoy this. And everyone's looking at me, so I guess maybe we should start. Here we go. This is season 2, episode 2.
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Quiet.
And here we go.
He has no idea what he's doing.
Typical.
That's wrong.
Then why don't you do it?
No thanks.
Don't you know how to open up a can of Mountain Dew, Alan? Seriously.
Where's my can opener?
Do it first, then I'll tell you.
I always really love how Zuri and Sharp always constantly butt heads. It's like this constant love-hate relationship. Mm-hmm. It's like they hate each other's guts, but also don't want anything to happen to the other. I always, I think I love the dynamic of those two.
Yeah, same.
All of Alan's sounds here were like ad-libbed too.
Yeah, so, I actually just pulled a nail, and that what you heard was me actually getting hurt by myself.
I swear, you hurt her
more than she already is. It's too dark in here. Turn on that lamp over there and point it at her leg.
So bossy.
Are you okay with this?
Get the lamp, Alan.
Speaking of bossy,
Alan.
Hey, speaking of bossy,
I was defending your friend.
Well,
your no spoilers here.
Well, I mean, it's great because Sharp is so used to being a leader in his context, and Zuri is a leader in her context, and now all of a sudden they're thrown together and they have to figure out how to work together, and I love that dynamic in this episode, especially.
Get it.
Iodine. Here.
Alan, take this gauze. I'll need you to wipe up all the blood that you can. Then Zuri, clean the wound with the iodine. Keep clearing the blood.
That's totally my character, my own personal character to just fall in line and be a follower instantly, so that's cool.
She should go to a real doctor. We need to get her to a hospital now.
No kidding.
Yeah, Einstein.
Zuri, 2 hours ago, he was holding a gun to her head.
Yes. Sharp is going to patch her up. Oh, he's never going to learn what happened to his family.
And, like, that's the one leverage.
No.
Stupid.
I mean, you gotta use what you got. You gotta use what you got.
And, like, Zuri uses that leverage over and over again.
The sad thing is that Sharp falls for it over and over again. Like, yeah, you're right. You know, Felicia, I'll wait a little longer. Or, no, Zuri. Sorry. Ooh, dude, I did it in reverse. I usually call you Zuri. Anyway.
At some point, who's the blame fall on to? The person who just falls for it over and over again.
Let's leave the fate of our best friend in the capable hands of a killer.
I've always caught that, too. Best friend.
I said best friend?
You said best friend there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Rough.
Apparently I said best friend.
Really?
Best
friend. The fate of our best friend in the hands of a killer. Right?
I didn't even notice
best
that.
Best friend.
It's okay. I actually have one of those in this episode too.
Nice.
Like I said,
three, two,
I think I'm going to be sick.
One.
And this is actually bad. We didn't add a sound effect for that. We literally pulled something out of Megan's leg. So, yeah.
The sounds are so gross in comparison with the
just
a squish pull.
Oh my gosh, Megan, how many takes did we do for that?
Probably like 100.
But to be fair, we know Megan is playing a character that is super tough. So she doesn't feel pain.
Right.
That's what it is. She was
biologically evolved.
Yes.
Superior than the others. It's
I got all the technical things for you.
Well, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. I'm going to say all the stupid stuff, and then you make it sound smarter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll be like, yep, that's what I meant.
That's what Fuenz is.
Okay. That's what Fuenz is.
Fuenz will fall.
That's what Fuenz do.
That's what Fuenz will fall.
I mean, hey, bring in the cold air.
Oh, hang on, guys. Hang on.
Oh, the Mountain Dew!
That was the last Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that was the last one. Sorry, guys.
I think we need Felicia to do some slurping sounds.
Yeah, I think we did though, didn't? Or you had me get water, and I had like.
I mean right now.
Oh.
You should do some ASMR.
This is the famous.
Give everyone a good Zuri Mountain Dew slurp. Right up to the mic.
I think I need to be paid more for that.
Okay.
Okay, we're gonna sign the check to Zuri, so it's not like you can cash it.
Yep, Zuri Amara will get a check.
Zuri Amara.
So next time she plays Monopoly, though, she's gonna cash in and it's gonna suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, roasted.
Roasted.
It's hard to get out. Everyone's too busy just trying to survive.
If I'm ever talking over this really serious
podcast. Oh, it's a beautiful
Zuri. That's okay. They're here for the comments this time. They want to hear the serious stuff. They can go to the actual episode.
Exactly.
Yeah, we can actually. Link, you want to laugh the whole time? This person? Let's do it.
She's comment, sad right now.
That's me.
What about you?
Okay.
Well, this is
okay, everyone be quiet. Now we have to be serious. Right? No, just kidding.
Well,
anyways.
One eyebrow up, and there you go.
Like, this whole scene. We got just a little bit of criticism on season one of not having enough character development. So like this was
first season.
Well, yeah, that and also like everyone was constantly running for their lives in season one, and so now I finally got this moment where they're in the basement, nothing to do. I'm like, hey, now it's a chance to have a real conversation. And so like this is the first time I really dove into like Sharp's backstory and Zuri's backstory some more. So it's kind of a special scene.
We had to lay down the foundation before we get out of any of the seasonings, right?
Exactly. Okay.
Actually, this is the first time I really related with Sharp on this level, too, because I felt like that when I was growing up, when I was in high school. I didn't know what I was going to do after I got out, so I was, like, on his level.
Me, too.
I pretty much
wrote all that from my own, like, personal.
Did you?
Yeah.
Sweet, let's pound it. Guys, you can't hear this, but we're pounding it. That was a pound sound.
A pound sound?
That was a pound sound.
Pound sound downtown.
That's what
pound sound downtown.
Step off, Alan.
I related to Alan from the beginning because of the Mountain Dew, but also if you remember his interactions with his mom. Mm-hmm. And calling his mom Ma,
Alan.
And like, Alan, when are you gonna get a girlfriend, or whatever she was doing, and like freaking out when I finally had two in my room. Like, so like, I related not in that sense, but like all the other, like how her and Alan like basically were is like how my mom and I are, and so it was just very weird. I was like, I remember saying, Nate, did you like interview my parents before writing this part? So it was great.
I can't remember if I knew that you called your mom Ma before I wrote the script, or if we changed the script. When we were recording, I think we were recording, and I think we changed the script to Ma.
Well, I remember reading Ma and being like, "That's weird." And then I remember reading her lines. I was like, "That's even more weird." And then I made that comment, and you're like, "No," and I was like, "Okay, this is just like." A god.
It was meant to be a personal attack.
It's fine.
Yeah, it was meant to be.
Yeah, Zuri's entire existence is just a constant personal attack on Felicia. Oh my gosh, you're not sure of yourself? Hey. Oh my gosh, you don't know who you are? Hey.
But Zuri is so cool though. Like, because I mean, this is the story for working all that out. You know, so like.
I really don't think.
I mean, you should take it as a compliment.
A lot.
She's like the.
If only I could apply that to real life, I'd be golden.
You just need the Department of Energy to chase you.
I also need to be part alien.
And be
fully alien.
Be an alien.
Like, you're.
Like.
Guys, cut the cameras.
Turn up, cut it, everyone.
Please, down. Please.
What do you mean you don't know?
What do you mean you don't
know? You know how hard that was to get a whisper out and record it properly? Mm. I even clipped during those times.
But I need to be
you clipped?
Yeah, right. All day.
I told you I could find out where they are, and I can. I just need to get to our ship.
You said you know where they are.
And what would you have done in my position?
Yeah.
Completely surrounded. You holding Mira.
You know what I also liked about this scene? Sharp's opening up to her. I almost thought it was almost kind of weird, but at the same time, I feel like he's kind of playing her in a way, trying to build her trust. So that she'll open up too, and then she'll finally trust him and give him the info he wants. So he's playing a new strategy with her for the first time.
How stupid do you think I am?
And then he gets super aggressive with her because he doesn't get what he wants. Like a little baby.
like a big man baby.
Like a big man baby. Those are the worst too, because they can mess you up.
So it is true.
No, I mean, I.
What? You didn't know?
I always really like the scenes where I get to yell because I get a vocal fry in, and it always, I love those ones.
Yeah.
Ask Nate, we always have to turn the gain down to like zero. That's fantastic.
Yeah, multiple times.
I remember it was like a strategy of mine, like I would put my feet where I was standing, and then I would like lean back or lean up depending on like if how much I needed to yell. That was what I always did for vocal control, but.
Yeah.
Sharp, I know how it sounds, but I swear to you, I've never been to Earth before now. Coming here was an accident. My people
kind of.
We could have said it, you know, we could have said it was a mistake. Coming here was a mistake.
She kind of did it on purpose, let's be honest.
She wanted to see what all the fuss was about.
My life was ruined.
My accent.
Oops, oh no, I don't know how to land, guys. Whoops.
Hey, everyone needs a little vacation, okay? Everybody needs a little vacation.
Sorry, I thought I pushed the orbit button. I pushed the land button.
All right, that's the one good way.
And she still crashed.
Even having contact with humans because they don't want to destruct your development as a species.
Sounds like the perfect cover for a secret abduction program to me.
Why would someone from Alethea want to abduct humans?
I love how Alethians always feel like they're better than us.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they are. I was going to say.
It's almost like, it's not judging Sharp, us. We're dumb, but we're not that dumb.
I think you just feel a little jealous, Sharp. I think that's what it is.
There's definitely a Vulcan level, like, arrogance.
For sure.
Right.
For sure. And yet she can't even fly a plane.
She does.
But then she crashed.
But then she does learn. I'm sorry, and who gets who? Okay, spoilers.
No, go ahead.
Spoilers, no.
Going back on the game thing,
we can spoil anything that has been published at this point.
Oh, fudge. No, I can't say what I was going to say.
You can, but I think you can.
Well, there was a gain issue when we were talking about the gains and yelling and stuff.
Oh.
I had to do a specific groan thing, the thing that Megan loves doing. The last episode that dropped, and I had to do a very loud one. So what we did was, to be quiet, make sure no one else heard it, it sounded perfectly. He put me in a mic, and I wrapped myself in that sound curtain right there. I was like, Nate, you're going to want to leave the room. Don't get loud. So,
like he's about to perform surgery on himself.
Yeah, and I just let her rip, man.
Alan, look away.
Loudest
I'm
going to
be sick.
I mean, who is Dave, anyway? There's no way he just randomly found us.
Who is Dave?
You don't buy his I Collect Rocks bit either, huh?
Nah, he's involved in
collecting rocks is a nice hobby.
If he's against us,
yeah. One Alethians would know, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
If he's not against us, why did he lock us in?
Samples.
I feel personally attacked. How did he know Amira, I think we're getting a little personally attacked.
Do you think he's
I'm so mad about my dude.
You have the last one.
Remember how the Phoenix suddenly stopped chasing us?
so we're a bit past it, but I did want to mention all of Mira's awesome sounds that she had to make when Sharp pulled the shrapnel out of her leg. It was funny because like Megan hates making like vocal noises and sounds.
Yeah.
You're awake.
And so, that right after I had written this episode, I went and found her. And I was like, hey, Megan, I've got this great new episode for you. And just to let you know, there's lots of, like, yelling and pain sounds in it. She was like, oh, great. Thanks, Nate.
I feel like I say that on every single one. Like, you better not have a ton of sounds for me to record.
You better not have lines.
And then I write a whole scene where, like,
how dare you?
And then I write a whole scene where that's, like, all she does.
But honestly, I feel like I just laugh the whole time. Because I just make the worst sounds ever, and I just laugh the whole time.
Well, your laugh sounds like groans, so that's good.
We'll have...
They used it. They used it for the show.
Sharp, I think you need to step down. You're here and you be there.
Sorry.
Take a step down.
Just wrap it along with the...
Well, now... All I'm going to say is...
No.
We'll include some outtakes at the end of this.
Or could have even asked.
Oh, that would be fun, actually. Doing the best that we have a lot of those.
We do.
Oh, this is when Merit and Zuri. Merit and Zuri's fights are always some of my... I won't say my favorite moments. That kind of sounds bad. But, like, character development-wise, I always think those are some of my favorite moments because they tend to grow together as characters and as friends, just in general. Yes. So I think it's really cool.
Is an understatement.
You can't see it, but I'm making a face.
At Area 51. It's adorable.
No. With a W.
Yeah.
You don't even know...
Zuri's like, no, you were...
I do.
Right. Like, it's hard for her to admit.
Hey, some growth is still growth. Some growth is still growth.
There's three things that are hard to say. You were right.
No.
I'm sorry. And Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire sauce?
Well, if one of your people is covering something up, your government is going to want to know about it. And you have the evidence.
What are you getting at?
I think he just told you what he was getting at.
Instead of the young, irresponsible kids who took a ship and crashed it on Earth,
she's figuring it out.
You're the daring heroines who discovered the long-lost shuttle and dug up the secret conspiracy.
You know, common sense doesn't have to be one of the things that Aletheans excel at, okay?
That's fair.
Okay?
That's fair.
That might be a resource that they do not.
They don't have.
We share a lot of stuff with humans. Just not that.
We're going back to Area 51.
Except we're not.
See, I love that. I love your music, Brad.
Yeah, I know.
In moments where you sent me a copy, I think it was like the last episode we dropped, and you forgot to add the music. You sent me the one without the music.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is good.
It's all right.
This is good. Then you. Then I finally found. I listened to the actual episode with all of your music in it.
Dexa, a word.
You are gifted.
Yeah. Seriously.
Every
amazing.
Scene that sounded like I was like, all right, that's kind of a cool scene. Well, that was good, well written. I listened to it with the music, and it took it to a whole other theatrical level.
That's what I'm here about.
And I could see it all in my.
You should do it professionally.
You should.
Have you ever been paid to do it?
I mean, if
you guys,
I know the studio that
FennecFoxMedia.com. You'll be able to get a hold of Nate Fisher for music.
Mountain Dew.
Actually, not sponsored.
Yeah, no affiliation.
Felicia. I mean, it's a drop of company.
Hey, legal wise, that's sound, okay?
Yeah. Felicia's got the legal mind. She's like, yeah, we're gonna.
At the beginning, just like put my voice like speed it up though. This is an overhead, just like
yeah.
Speed up and say all that.
We know we feel about Mountain Dew. Thank you so much.
Well, anyway, she should be back on her feet soon. I just wanted to let you know before you went and filed an
I just need to know, where'd you come up with the moon flu?
Thanks for letting me know.
I literally just like...
He looked at the moon,
space, you saw the moon, and you're like, that's going to work.
I need some disease that sounds alien.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden it just moon flu. Like, I did not put any thought into that at all.
Now, when you were thinking moon flu, were you thinking Earth moon flu, or were you thinking...
I don't even know.
Alethean, but you didn't...
I don't even know. It just sounded spacey. Everyone's like thinking that I put all this thought into like I was really thoughtful and researched. No, I just moon flu.
All the black goes into the sound.
Space Wiki says that moon flu is when you fly between the any planet and the moon too closely, and then your body's being pulled in both directions. That's moon flu.
Thank you, Alan.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alan. You just
put that out of your would know that.
Yeah, Alan would know that. Alan, put your space helmet back on.
Oh, Alan.
Go listen to radio waves or whatever.
Go look at your microscope.
You need your tinfoil.
It's a telescope.
Yeah. You need your tinfoil. I think you might need tinfoil.
What do you want?
Tinfoil hat. Yes.
To explain my intentions.
And start explaining, old man.
Yeah.
Old yeah.
CEO spook. Sure. An amateur ufologist.
Amateur.
And two aliens.
How did you?
Sounds like the
Sharp's character does get intense show. Quite often.
I had to know I could trust
okay, this would be another fun podcast. What if we took the sound and the foleography or foley artistry or whatever, take that out and have us do it?
Oh, yes, all vocal sound effects and vocal music.
Crash, like, crash, burn. Yeah.
That would be actually a lot of fun.
Bang, bang, bang.
Hey,
I've thought about taking a scene and having us like be the sound effects for it just for fun.
Yeah.
That'd be a good
government agency.
If you guys want to hear it, comment.
You've been spying on us this whole time.
Like, share, subscribe.
Hit our DM.
Ah, how the turntable.
Long enough.
That was reference right there.
I love that. That's so.
I hope the audience caught that. I hope you listeners.
I hope they did too. I'm sure they did.
No affiliation.
Was that Bartholomew? Was that Bartholomew who said that?
Not me.
Oh, so Alan says, "Oh, how the turntables," with classic Michael Scott line from the Office.
I saw that too.
So you have to learn to do everything yourself.
One of the sound things just came off the wall.
You never really learned to trust.
Nice.
Yep. No.
The Force.
You're way off.
I mean, no.
Was it?
No,
oh, this is where we find out everyone's weaknesses.
Yes, I like this scene.
Yeah.
Like, no, this foreshadows, like, the whole season. Around.
And now you've attached yourself quickly, I might add, to Alan.
Hmm. Yeah, that's totally you, huh? I'm not attached to him.
I mean, you kind of are. Ever since you guys showed up here, you guys have been talking to each other the whole time.
Me and him, gross.
No offense, Alan.
No offense, Alan.
I am offended.
That relationship does not stand a chance.
What relationship?
Your whole M.O. is basically just fear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're talking about. Cautious, yes. But I'm not afraid.
Another thing that's me. It's called hypervigilance. Look it up.
Paranoia.
Heard of it.
Synonyms.
No. No, of course not.
And that leaves you, Agent Sharp.
Oh, it passed me.
What, me?
We talked over years.
It's okay. No, you have daddy issues.
Pause exactly.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if you just
you
basically
have daddy issues, mommy issues, little cousin issue in there.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if that's what he said. Basically,
all of you
bound together by common thread.
This is the one time in show that I used the intro music. I've never used that music in show until right here.
Nice. I do like it when shows used to do that.
So what?
They don't do it as much anymore.
What? Have a good plot line.
Whoa!
Ooh, snap!
Ooh, snap! And at the same time, you made us sound awesome.
Come with me.
Well, I really appreciate the thought that Nate puts into all the writing. You know, everything has a pretty big flow, and everything, you know, in some way relates back to each other. Like, I believe we've released the episode already. Like, which me, have we released that yet?
What?
So, like, when he comes back into the show later?
Yeah.
No,
dude.
Okay, I won't say anything then.
Don't worry.
You want to stop it? That's kind of a spoiler.
No, let's leave it
in there.
I said it.
You said it really quietly.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't said anything
about it. Exactly. What are you talking about?
Yeah, this
is like how we put
delicious.
A lot of thought into like Moon Flu.
Yeah, I love Moon Flu.
Moon Flu, Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew Moon
Flu. For me and you.
Oh!
Oh! Oh!
There you ride.
1 minute, you're locking us up. The next, you're giving us a space shuttle? Why so generous all of a sudden?
Because he's Santa.
Don't flatter yourself. It's been taking up space and collecting dust for years, but it's not exactly the kind of thing you can take down to the scrapyard.
Oh, like you have to take a spaceship to the scrapyard.
Come on, Dave, be realistic.
Give him
He's like, not anymore.
I mean, you could possibly chop it up into little pieces, right?
Right.
Potentially.
Right? Grind it down to the elements. And just,
there you go. Foreign elements no one's ever seen before.
Yeah,
that's fine.
No, it's fine.
How much can I get for this?
This is an asteroid.
no worries.
The moon rocks.
No big whoops.
The moon flu rocks.
That's how we got moon flu.
Moon flu rocks. You obviously heard of that.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Why would they not be responding? I don't know. But at least we have
because
a way home.
Because it didn't
take the radio
work.
And keep trying to reach them. But for now, let's just work with what we've got.
It's
for
almost
now.
Like. It's almost
Looks
like Mary didn't know that Garrus beat it up.
We accept your offer, Dave. Thank you.
Right.
Antenna.
You said it needs repairs?
It's weird.
It still flies, but it's not spaceworthy.
I love how he constantly sounds like a hero. It still flies!
No worries,
guys. Like, I can see
like that's the best news.
I see Kate.
Don't worry, guys. It doesn't fly. Like, no, that's actually bad.
It looks like crap, but it does what it's supposed to.
Well,
I just always, when I see him, I just think of a cape, you know, every time he speaks.
Yes.
Right. Well, he sounds like a hero.
He does have that, like, theatrical voice, like, right? Like, yes.
Where did you get it?
None of your business.
Do I know?
You're going to have to do a little better than that. I'm not about to fly.
No, they don't.
Good luck storming Area
Dolores?
51. Worked out great for you the first time around.
Hey-o. Zing.
Zinger.
But at least some history.
They're listening.
Well, certain government agency.
To be nice to Zuri, though, technically flying the spaceship is also like driver's ed, kind of what she's doing is like a human's driver's ed. So technically, she's still learning, okay?
She's got a flyer's permit, okay?
Yeah, exactly. She's going to make some mistakes.
I think what Zuri did is more like 12-year-old kids stealing the keys from mom and dad and like going rogue at like midnight.
Yeah, because she was still playing the video game version of the thing, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Simulation, yeah. She did great with it, obviously.
Yeah, thank you. Flight simulator. I can't say words.
Easy.
Words are hard.
Simulation. Simulator.
Flight simulator.
Yes.
I said it.
I think we can trust him.
Oh, we can? Excuse me.
You're not a prisoner here.
Okay, that's enough Mountain Dew.
See? Don't you hear? I see the cape.
Yeah.
The white, the red, white, and blue.
Anytime.
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 Don't mind him. We're grateful for your hospitality, Dave.
Well, forgive me if I'm not as naive as my alien associates.
Hmm. You're a product of the agency that trained you.
Oh.
Well, I mean, common sense doesn't run in their species, okay. So that's fine.
You want to help us? Give me a gun. I feel a bit naked at the moment, thanks to
I'm only playing off Felice's joke, by the way. I'm not being mean.
Clarification is necessary.
Yes.
It was my idea.
I have many weapons, and you are welcome.
That was good acting, by the way. You actually really sound like you were far away. Good job.
You discover your
that
presence.
Had nothing to do with Nate.
Don't expect
it. That's editing. Just pure raw talent.
Pure skill.
Pure raw talent.
I came up with her.
See, that's what you were doing.
I mean, this is all one take, too, so.
Yeah. That's right. That's
okay.
Good.
Sorry.
That also was one take. That was really hard.
You guys didn't see this, but Felicia just ducked. She ducked and covered as soon as that gun went off. No, Nate's really good at sound effects.
To see your skills in long-range shooting, Carter here will evaluate you.
This scene was so important because it like sets the foundation for what happens in the next episode. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, come on. I thought you were crimping for a second. Like, you're like doing this
he's
like
getting
crimp,
his core.
Crimp.
He's got to get those chest press.
It's a little warm. It's a little warm. Okay.
I had to improvise on seating, so we're all just sitting on like random different like objects, and Sharp's definitely sitting on like the Dwight office right? Bouncy ball thing right now.
A yoga ball.
That yoga ball.
For you non-office connoisseurs.
It's the most sharp seat you can find.
The round.
What Shark would always choose.
Oh, I thought you,
no. The most difficult thing? Yes.
Yes. I was going to say, I'm bouncing like a little kid while the rest of you are just sitting there. So it's just like, no, you're kind of trying.
Like the Men in Black?
Still does all the things.
No affiliation.
We have to keep ourselves in check. Keep ourselves in check.
Yeah. Men in Black sues Fennec Fox Media.
Yeah.
Right. ETC. Extraterrestrial contact.
Like, as long as y'all mention Men in Black again.
That's the first time I think the audience ever actually learns what ETC stands for, I'm pretty sure.
Extraterrestrial contact.
It's actually, for the audience, it's actually extraterrestrial contact and control. But
ETCC.
But you don't spell it. They only did the one C, though. It's like in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just bureaucracy.
It's like et cetera, et cetera.
It's bureaucracy. They said you have to have three letters.
You guys want
to
know why it's called ETC?
Because you like et cetera?
Because it's a no. Because it's a top secret program that they didn't want to.
Sorry, Nate just got really serious.
They didn't want the agency to garner suspicion on financial reports, and so they just put ETC. It looks like et cetera, and it looks like a miscellaneous budget. Of course, then you might wonder why millions of dollars is on
that scope,
et cetera, budget. But
I think that if anyone sees any type of a government agency hyphenated or abbreviated, like I said, letters, they go with it.
True.
Trustworthy.
Yeah.
You know, good sources.
Yeah.
No need to cite the sources.
Carter eats, sleeps, and breathes long-distance shooting.
Which would be hard to do.
I was going to say, that sounds like a little painful.
That
trying
would.
To breathe long-distance shooting.
haven't you seen Hunter X?
No. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So good.
Reference.
True.
That's
I believe that special agent now. You were saying?
Well, as you know, NSA collects and stores data from all major cellular carriers.
That's true.
Yes.
What time phone calls and texts are made, what numbers they're made to, how long the phone call lasted, and...
And...
What?
Geolocation.
This is for everyone who has a, some kind of smart device. Okay, Alexa, volume 10. Just in case.
If we get hate comments because of that, we're out.
Siri, pause.
If we get hate comments, I feel like it's not going to be because of that.
Someone named Alan Ehrlich.
Oh. Yeah. And that's the first time we learned Alan's last name, too.
Ehrlich?
Yep.
Ehrlich.
I just...
kind of Chris now.
His mom is Jewish. I just Googled Jewish names, and I was like, oh, that sounds good. For real.
This is all the research and studying Nate does for the scripts. We now know where Moon Flu comes from.
No, I did
and
do...
Ehrlich's last name.
And Chris's origin story. Yeah.
I did research the whole NSA like data storage thing, because I wanted to be accurate in my thing. But then I needed, for the plot, I needed them to track the geolocation data. But actually, in my research, I found the NSA actually doesn't track that.
Right.
So I just made that up and pretended they did for the plot.
Oh,
you know, it's, a lot, it's good, though, when you can throw so much jargon in there, it just throws everyone off. It's like, yeah, that sounds legit.
Oh, dude, movies get away with it all the time. Mike
all
and I,
the
right?
time. Okay, like, take, for instance, you watch Batman Begins.
Yes.
No affiliation. That part where Liam Neeson's telling Bruce Wayne when he falls into the ice and he tells him to don't rub your arms, rub your chest, the arms take care of themselves.
Right.
Completely made up.
Yeah.
Like Liam Neeson in an interview, he's like, yeah, we just completely tossed that out there. People bought it. I'm just hoping, like, no Boy Scouts try it. That actually happens. It's not going to work out.
I recently just watched a movie where they said that a computer chip could help you track down someone's local IP address. I'm just like, you know, for like the 1% who knows that that's fake, how dare you?
The round cylindrical metal thing.
All of these.
I love this scene so much.
So do I, because it makes Alan.
Yes, yes. Yeah. This is. I love the scene.
Yeah.
Sorry. I realized that it was one of them.
I wish they would just spill their guts and get it over with already.
Yeah, well, it's
don't hold your breath. Show, so that's
terrible. I think it's cute because I imagine Mira just doing the whole like pressing the hair behind the ear thing. Alan.
Alan. That tool right there, silly boy.
But like she like really knows what like all of it is.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The circular one, yeah.
Well, and Alan's tick of, like, he just, like, trails off and keeps talking and doesn't know when to stop is just, I love that bit.
I don't do that, ever.
Parents arrange partnerships for their children when they come of age.
Oh. So,
does anyone else wish it was still like that, guys? Come on.
Don't have one.
No? Okay. So,
what? I didn't hear what
arranged marriages.
Marriages.
Oh, I mean, well, I'm not. That would be kind of nice sometimes, but. Says, like, the single
30-year-old. All those single listeners are like, yes, please.
Alan, are you okay?
Chris is
okay.
Single and ready to mingle.
Okay?
His phone number is, no.
You can find
555. 555. Yeah, so season one, I didn't know you're supposed to do 555 in the phone numbers.
Right.
So I, like, just made up numbers. I really hope no one has tried calling these random numbers and put in season
one. Just do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1.
Yeah, my number is 867-5309.
Oh, man.
Just
yeah.
What number is that? That can't be really your number.
Don't ever call
it. Now people are going to call that number and get mad at us.
It's a song if they know the song. 8, 6, 7,
oh, yeah. 309. I got it.
He broke it up so you didn't catch the song.
You're right. I didn't.
You did a very good job. That was actually well delivered.
It was well delivered.
Someone's parents have to choose me.
But is there anyone?
And everyone will, because Mira's a cat.
She is too. She's so cool.
She's a cool character.
And then, agreed. But
and a cool person
pick,
in life too.
If it was your decision,
this was all ad lib.
Their decision.
That was nice.
All of that was ad lib.
Yes,
that
yes.
Whole scene right there.
Which part?
I remember. It's like the, if I could, if you could make a wish and pick anything, like
that was all ad lib.
Yeah, it was like that was not written.
I was. In the script, it just said like random banter, I think, or something, and I was like, oh, sorry, Chris, I need you to just like make something up here, man. Like, what would you say in real life? And it was great.
Yeah,
like nailed it.
Any luck with the radio?
Not yet.
Let's at least turn it on and see if it starts. No, until I run a full diagnostic. We don't
it's
even
good
have
acting.
The engine is safe.
Those sounds.
Yeah.
Sounds like you just had a refreshing
that
swig
right
of Mountain Dew.
Beautifully executed.
Stay.
Exhale.
Mira, you're not allowed anywhere near this shuttle. Is that clear?
Ooh, more of this. More of this stuff. I love this part.
We were all cool. Yes, I don't know what just happened.
This is the first time that Mira really gets assertive.
Yeah, she's like,
This isn't about
no, Zuri.
It's about going home. Now go away. Get.
Tell her.
Are you okay?
And then she hurts herself. More sounds.
No yep. Laser. And we'll break out the Mountain Dew.
This was Megan's favorite episode.
This is this. In a way, I guess you could make this a shot game.
There are
whenever Megan gets hurt.
If you're under the age, if you're under the age of 21, please be, you know, be your discretion.
If you're under the age of 21, I'm talking about Mountain Dew the whole time, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So
yeah, drinking game so is just
drinking game
exactly.
of Mountain Dew.
Yep. Exactly.
Whenever Mary gets hurt,
yep.
you take a swig of Mountain Dew.
Absolutely. Or whenever I almost faint, or if I pass out. We also no affiliation with diabetes.
We're slightly affiliated with diabetes.
How many people's enamel is destroyed because they drink Mountain Dew?
Yeah, so dumb.
It's just the two cans. So for us.
Yeah, the two cans.
Springing leaks everywhere.
I'm gonna go get
your space adventure will be cut. Very short.
Well, very short.
I don't know about you, but I don't see any Compound 31 around here.
No, but I know where you can get something that will work. There's a place in Las Vegas that sells it.
The closest place to get it is Vegas.
This is specialty.
Vegas, baby, Vegas.
WD-40.
That was me.
You'll need new seals.
Alan and Sharp do sound a lot alike.
I know. Yeah. Our the timbre of our normal voice is pretty close.
It's true.
I
can't stand city or anything.
I might have to
live there. I'm good. I'm still drinking.
Listen up.
All right, guys, here's another one.
Air.
Go. I'm still drinking air. It's the lowest calorie thing I could find.
Zero calories, zero flavor, zero aftertaste.
Zero aftertaste, zero carbs.
No aspartame.
Oh, my gosh, I live
No carbs, too.
It doesn't break down the enamel.
Aspartame gives Alan headaches. And me. It's weird. We're so sick.
What does?
Aspartame.
Oh, cool. Well,
aspartame is actually
really
bad.
And Alan, you cool. That's so great.
Aspartame is really bad for you, though.
No, yeah. Am I the only one who thought that was funny?
Yes.
Usually.
Okay, so my script supervisor recommended cutting that line because he said it was way too cheesy. And I was like, but it's
we
Alan. Alan can be cheesy.
Okay,
and so
if you're
I kept
listening
it.
To this, Mr. Script Supervisor, you're fired. Okay, I know billions and billions of people. Oh, sorry, no affiliation.
No affiliation.
No, honestly, Jason did a great job. He was super helpful, like helping me. But that was the one time I was like, I'm keeping that line.
Anything cringy, you know. If it's in relation to Alan, you kind of have to keep it just because it's just...
It's Alan. It's so Alan.
That's some Algin spinoff.
Algin?
Algin?
That is so Algin.
I'm not going to have another.
There's an Algin hanging out with his friends.
Wait, okay.
That's what friends are for.
If you can add music, you should put the That's So Raven thing in the background, but just the song.
No affiliation.
Don't sue us, Disney.
That should be like your like little tag. Finnick Fox Studios. No affiliation.
Yeah, I'll be waiting in the Jeep.
Oh, and this is also where we first sort of foreshadow the Zuri, I'm sorry, the Mira Megan theme music.
Ooh.
There it is in the background, but no lyrics yet. We haven't recorded the lyrics yet.
You could have sent Zuri.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Bad idea.
Hey! Hey!
Think of this as your chance to show me how smart you are.
You kind of get it.
I know. Yeah. I'm saying it for dramatic effect.
This is my favorite.
Hurry back.
I will.
Ah! That's one of my favorite
Hair flip,
scenes.
Drive into the sunset.
That is it.
It's one of my favorite scenes.
I gotcha. Why is that? Producer, director, writer?
I love this music.
Okay.
That sounds very, I mean, I wrote it. That's terrible of me to say, like, I do love my music.
No,
it's not a bad thing.
I wouldn't write it if I didn't love it.
I'd be more concerned if you didn't like what you made.
Thank you, right?
I wrote this. It is complete garbage. We're using it.
But, like, I just love this. It felt so cinematic. Like, I can see it in my head so well.
Right.
And my favorite scenes in audio drama is when you can totally see it. I can just see Alan at the door and he pauses and she says, hurry back. And he doesn't, like, all he says is, I will, but there's, like, so much emotion packed in that hurry back. Like, this is, it says more than it says, you know what I mean?
Like I said, I see the hair flip sunset.
Mm-hmm.
I will. Walking down, God.
Heart throb. Hurry back, I'm like, I will.
That's exactly what I see. That's what I see.
Although I can't turn left.
I like how you're picturing Alan flipping his hair.
Yes.
Yeah. No, me.
Yeah.
I mean, no, yeah.
Yeah. Chris is still single on Mary Miggle.
Yeah.
Call him.
There's a reason.
It's actually that long.
867-5309.
Yeah. Yai yain.
We'll link his social medias down below.
Don't tag me. Don't at me.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Show that same loyalty to me now. And in return, you can count on my protection. Do we understand each other?
I should see to this personally.
No. Stay mobile. Keep searching. We need to know the instant they try to make a move.
I think Amanda's a good addition.
The activity just got a hit.
Mm-hmm. Dude, yeah, she was such a great... Yeah, her actress does so good, such a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and yeah, it's just something about Amanda's experience that she brings to the Department of Energy that just like there's something like frighteningly scary about it.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh my gosh, she has this depth of like she's just like scary every time you hear her.
An intimidating kind of tone.
Yeah, intimidating, and that's what we needed. We needed like a really scary villain.
Not that the last one was bad. Yeah,
I couldn't do this reading. It took me like when I had to be the one to read the credits. It took me like 10 times. Because remember, it was like the one time where we had like those guest actors and actresses. I didn't want to say their names.
Yeah,
I was like, and then I would get one and I mess up the other, and then I get the other one and I mess up the every time.
I have a bad habit of. If you enjoyed this like episode, sending lines people to like do without giving any like pronunciation guide, and then I get lines back. I'm like, that's not how it's pronounced. Oh, I should have specified that.
Yeah.
Oops. I do that a lot.
I love this soundtrack.
It kind of reminds me of like when a book gives like a preface and it says, here's the person's name and here's like the phonetic spelling, because like. There's other books, maybe with people's names like Hermione that I can't name, no affiliation. And I thought it was Hermione for like the first 2 books. So,
right.
You know, like things like that.
Yeah.
Instead of Harry Tari. Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Hermione.
Yeah, Hermione.
Voldemort.
Hermione.
Dumbledore. Snape.
Yeah, like Star Wars 2.
You shall not pass! No affiliation.
Oh, dude. So, what do you think about Roken?
Messages from my son. I don't understand.
Sounds creepy.
You guys like Roken?
Oh, man. The last two episodes.
Like him?
He's a bad dude. I don't know if like is a word we
can use. As an evil character, like...
As an evil character, I think he adds, like, a lot to the story itself, and I think there's a lot of potential, so it's very exciting to see him in there as, like, a person, like, as the character.
He's terrible.
There you go. See, there was business. There was business Felicia, and then you heard real Felicia.
I think...
She put her briefcase down, and
he was like,
was about to throw hands.
That's right.
I think that people tend to relate more to villains as they get older. So, and you know, how, like with Disney, everyone kind of roots for the villains.
Right.
And they get older and it's more relatable. So, just I'm kind of interested in learning like the backstory. Well, yeah, but like for the audience to know the backstory of for why Roken wants to do what he's doing. So, I think that might be interesting.
So he reveals a lot of it in the post credit scene of episode 4.
Yeah,
he gives that big speech.
Yeah,
that was fun. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because you had to record that entire crowd of people. I didn't know how you got along to it, but yeah, it sounded good.
Do you really think
that?
It's like, shut up. It has to
be. We all just said different things in different different tones. Put Marshall together, bam, the crowd.
Easy.
Easy. Anyone who does sound design will tell you crowds are one of the most difficult things about sound design. It is such a pain. Oh my gosh.
Well, it sounded like a true crowd when you were doing it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You don't want to do like the typical.
High praise.
To generate enough, we would need close to 9 fusion reactors on the vessel. Roken's ship should only need about 7 reactors.
How'd you come up with the numbers on these? Just throw them out?
Well, the reactors themselves...
Fusion reactors, obviously everyone only needs about 7.
I became a leading expert on astrophysics.
Okay.
No big deal. Just read a few textbooks.
All right. This is Dr. Nate. Everyone keeps not saying...
How much research really did you have to do for this scene when they were talking about all the science?
Most of the research I did... was actually distances, because I based the planets in my story on real planets in our actual galaxy. Yep. So that was a lot of research, like how many light years is it really? And then I did some Google searching on, like, if you used a continuous acceleration drive I've never heard that acronym before, but yeah,
everyone knows it.
At the rate of gravity's acceleration,
of course,
you know, how long would it take to actually travel that distance? Because I wanted my show to be believable scientifically, in the sense that there's no warp drive, there's no faster than light travel, because scientifically there really isn't. And so I wanted this to be sort of a hard science fiction in that sense.
Yeah.
And so I did a lot of research on that kind of stuff. I didn't do a lot of research on, like, fusion drives and like, energy amounts. I just made up numbers because I got time, man. I got to write this thing. I got to sound design it. I got to score it. I got to record it.
Elite is based off of the real planet...
Proxima B.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yes. Well, actually, the star is Proxima B.
Entirely different problem than sending radio
transmissions. Yeah, but there is an exoplanet at Proxima B that Alethea is based on. And then the other two Alethean planets, actually, there's 3 more Alethean planets, but the two next to each other are the one that Roken is on here, which is Ignosi. And then right next to that planet, there's another exoplanet. And that one's Spileiki. That's the prison planet.
Okay.
Which was revealed, actually, in the most recent episode that I just put out.
Yeah, he's going to go recruit some people.
I had a minute. I was like, wait. Okay, we're good.
And so, you know, Star Wars has the blue milk. So we have Phylakia and E. coli. It's prison planet. Alcohol, basically.
E. coli. Every time I hear of E. coli, I'm thinking
E. coli.
E. coli.
No affiliation.
Actually, a little bit. No.
But I knew Roken had to be, like, I needed the audience to understand Roken is a bad dude. So, like, this scene was one of my favorite ones to write. So I'm like, I got to, like, dig into my own dark side of, like, how can I make Roken just be, like, how can I make him be, like, as frightening as Thanos? You know, I mean, just, like, he's my Thanos. So.
Baby killer.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much. Babies, mommies, daddies, anything living.
Admiral, please.
Well, and the actress who plays Corin here, she told me she's not a voice actress. Like, she was one of my friends who helps me, like,
the one who's about to.
Uh huh. Yep.
Spoiler.
If they're listening to this one for the first time and they haven't heard the actual episode, that's on them.
I sent her the script. I was like, okay, how about I just give you a cameo, you know? But I gave her kind of a hard, because she's got to, like, believably die. She nailed it. She gave me the lines back. She recorded it remotely, so I wasn't there to direct her either.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, she gave me, like, these lines, and they're perfect. I was like, wow. Yeah. Right here.
No, yeah.
No! Corin!
Never acted before. She, like, just destroyed it. I love it.
It was so good the first time I heard it. I called 911.
She needs her inhaler.
She's true.
Turn to side B. I'm just kidding.
No, I remember actually hearing her for the first time. What's her name again?
Corin. I think
Corin is the character.
Corin's character. I remember calling you after I listened to this episode, and I was like, "What? Whoever that actress was, we need to get her again for someone."
For sure.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, we've stayed friends. We met remotely just on a Discord server, and she's such a good writer. Her name is Shelby Sullivan. She's awesome. Look her up on Twitter. Sully writes.
Promise me you'll finish it and stay alive.
Man, I love that scene.
Sorry.
This is not the scene music.
Hamilton.
This is sad times.
To my son.
Give this to my son. Yeah, so... there's going to be a story with that. It's still in production. We'll see.
Cool.
Still in development.
Sweet. And it involves no characters here.
Correct.
Nice.
Ouch.
Actually,
yeah, sadly offended. Involved.
Well, I mean, Nate, actually, I heard him talking to his wife. He's sick of coming with us, so.
He's just killing us all off.
He's killing us off. Spoiler alert.
Killing us slowly.
You guys might as well honestly, just stop watching. We're all going to die at the end.
That would be bad for the plot. I was going to say, you know, that'd be a good plot twist. Actually, no, it wouldn't.
That is not true. Don't listen. Okay.
Plot twist. We are all the aliens. The Elythians are Earth people, and we all die.
We've given too much.
And
that's the end of the
episode. Do the classic Ferris Bueller. You guys are still here?
What?
Next episode. Go home.
Seriously. Do something.
So how long do you think these suckers are going to keep listening?
Oh, wow.
We're very grateful for all of our fans. Disregard Alan slash Chris.
Okay, now here's a great time. Has any of you, you've all listened to all of them, right? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing we all have.
Yeah.
Is there any question you had for one of the other people about either the character or something that they did in the show? That would be a good time to ask. If not, that's totally cool, too.
Do you have one in mind that you want to ask somebody?
Not at all.
Okay, well.
I was just wondering. I come up with the questions. I don't have the answers for that.
Yeah. I lead the discussion. Yeah, I don't take part in
exactly.
the discussion.
I don't. Okay. I'm a Lethian. I'm above that.
You're a Lethian. Oh, plot twist.
Plot twist.
Last episode, Sharp's like, who else is an alien, Alan? So now, it turns out you're an alien?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Hypocrite.
Exactly.
I just asked it because if you ask, no one suspects you.
Oh, man. Yeah, there are a lot of really good ad-libs with Alan, with Chris.
Oh, with Alan. So with Dimitri and all of them, when Zuri almost basically, I won't say kind of almost dies, like when Dolores was kidnapped and we were going in, I feel like that was like a really big moment for Alan because he kind of grew a lot as a person.
Yeah.
What when recording that, could you, like, what was the difference between recording other scenes as Alan versus that scene with Alan, just more or less like as character wise?
Yeah, there was definitely a few episodes like in a row, like even the like you know, come back soon, and I said I will, or you know, whatever that line was. Mm-hmm. Like I had to actually tap into emotions to say some of the lines, mm-hmm. and like and then even in some of the ad libs, I was like, that's not something that Alan would say right there. Mm-hmm. And so Nate and I would go through, and especially in that, in anything that's more emotionally driven, I would like think about whatever the line was, and if it sounded like something okay similar, and then I would put my own two cents in it, but. I was tapping into emotions, especially for some of those scenes, because like I have felt some of the things that were going on with him, like mm-hmm. the desperate desire to like be loved and to love in return. Like mm-hmm. I know that, mm-hmm. or like the like wanting to protect people. Like I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. So like just like tapping into my own experience. Like
again, the number is 867-5309.
Yeah.
But I think that's really cool. I think that's you know what makes you like a good you know just like a voice actor is because you're able to tap into those emotions mm-hmm. and really able to portray that through a character because you're willing to be vulnerable, which is really hard.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us have been really vulnerable within this series, and it's hard. Yeah. It's really difficult. So I really admired that scene specifically.
Yeah. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I'd say that, like, overall for the, especially for you guys here, as you've, like, learned your characters, I think voice acting from season one to season two, like, just continues to get better and better and better as you guys grow into your characters, which is really cool.
Well, and to kind of bounce off what you said, I remember Nate specifically being like, yeah, I kind of just, sometimes when I'm writing the script, I just text Felicia and be like, hey, what would she say here?
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, you know, because I think we kind of start to know who our characters are and like what
I've definitely
us,
made
so.
Some side stories about Zuri just because, you know, it's, like I said, we're very similar in a lot of different ways, you know, even with like family situations. And so it's really, it's a hard role for me to do. And I was excited when I tried out, when I got it, I didn't think I would actually get it. But then when I realized, oh, wait, I get it. Oh, I actually have to,
so here's the reason why Felicia was cast as Zuri. It was between her and one other actress, and I couldn't decide who, and I was putting together the teaser, that Zuri's teaser at the very beginning, you know, where she's being interrogated.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't decide who, so I asked both of them to send me lines. And they both did really good. And I brought them into the studio to record. And Felicia shows up with a notebook. And she's, like, taking notes. And she's, like, writing down, like, brainstorming ideas about this character. I'm like, that was a level of dedication I wasn't expecting from anyone. I was like, okay, this is my star.
Thanks.
Like, that sealed it.
So my geek really kind of It flows out everywhere. No, pat the pen everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So, and I totally made the right choice. I'm, like, really, really happy with how I cast all of you guys.
Mm. Yeah, I will say I really like all of us, and I really like, I like listening to Sharp as well. You have a really interesting voice in general, and hearing you act and, you know, I'm trying to compliment you.
Okay, no, that's good. No, thank you. I'm not good at taking compliments, so when I'm saying thanks, I'm trying to be serious.
Every time Sharp talks, I can see your eyebrows. So just so you know,
I don't do anything with my eyebrows.
Yeah,
I'm gonna shave them off after.
No, I can still see them. I know.
Still there. Speaking of Sharp's voice. when Jeff first came in to record lines for Sharp, he sounded like Batman.
Yes.
And I was like, bro, so we're going for like we're going for like natural voice. Like,
oh, he sounded like it's Batman. Batman.
He was like deep.
Where are the other drugs? I didn't get what you wanted. He's like, where are my family? Where are the drugs going? Where are they, Zuri? It's me, Alfred.
There was a moment where I was concerned I might have to recast. But,
that's true.
But
then I threw out that sweet, sweet Elmo voice, being like,
that's yeah. more like a possessed Elmo. That
it was a possessed
scary.
Elmo. Yeah. I've actually told stories as a possessed Elmo from campfires. It's
fantastic.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
That's fantastic. Oh. But Jeff pulled it off though. Like he was able to adjust his voice. I'll be honest, he got about halfway to where I originally thought Sharp should sound. But no. But here's the thing though. Like the way Jeff did
it.
No, wait. The way Jeff did it ended up became Sharp, and now I can't hear Sharp any other way than how you do it. Like, it just, you know, you become the character, and your voice becomes the character. And that's what's so cool about audio drama is it's all voice. Like you get to.
Thank God, because you saw this face.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, I definitely have like the radio voice.
This
I don't
is the voice
I have,
for radio.
Yeah.
This is the face for radio. Well, you are the cover of season two.
Yeah.
And that's why no one has subscribed to that season.
That's why this is the first time watching that episode.
No, what I really like about Sharp is that he's a very, even though it doesn't seem like it, he's a very emotional character just within his voice. Yeah. You know, he even if it's like within a couple of emotions, like either like it's really, really angry to just getting things done, mm-hmm. there's still like a really quick shift between everything. And so it's really interesting because you're able to do that and perform that in like an instant. And so it's always really, a joy to listen.
No. I've really liked watching Mira's like growth because
Mira was my next one I was going to talk about.
Yeah, because honestly, there's like such a difference between like episode one.
Season one sure. Mira, season two Mira. Yeah.
Such a huge difference. And like, it's just really cool to be like, we've all grown, but like, I noticed it with you. So it's like really cool. Yeah.
I feel like Mira's definitely more assertive. Mm-hmm. And I think. Not that she, like, didn't know what she was doing before, but she kind of, like, knows better now how to take charge and to be a leader, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, season one Mira is smart but not confident in herself. Season two Mira is still smart but now confident
and now able to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that too.
And I think that really translates to you too. I feel like you've gained. I can't really necessarily 100% speak for you, but at least with how you present your lines and even doing the scenes that you don't like and the background noises and everything, you've just become a lot more confident. And it's really cool to listen to the entire series because there's definite growth. So it's really cool to listen and see.
I can speak for her in like in her personal life. There's a lot of confidence growth too. So it is
good.
Kind of mirroring. Yeah. Mirroring.
Mirroring.
I'm Alan. I'm here all night. So
I'm not gonna lie. When I heard the episode where she's throwing stuff and I think she gets hurt again and she's she said something and she's
Mountain
throws
right?
off and yeah right Mountain Dew sip drinks but she gets hurt again and she's like get out of my way Sharp and I was like ooh,
yes
there's that emotion that's oh man
right. you push Sharp out of the way
she brought out Sharp that's like she's reached the peak of confidence right there
yeah
like,
it was so good
Sharp is so easy to get mad at though it's so easy
panel and
again it's the face
there's a dartboard in the studio with his face on it
in fact when the other characters have to get mad Nate shows my picture to them
it's aversion therapy it works every time
oh my gosh
I feel like we could go on forever. I have so many questions for everybody.
Go for it.
Do it.
But, like, so is there a specific scene that, like, made you personally emotional? It kind of ties back into that. Or, like, for me, I can't remember exactly which scene, but I remember, like, you needed Zuri to cry, and I actually started crying, which was super, super embarrassing. And I could hear it because you could hear it in my voice, and it was, like, shaking, and I hated it, and Nate didn't delete it.
What scene is that?
I can't remember which one. What was the scene where I was... because it was when we were talking about Zuri's father. It was kind of like in that flashback kind of.
Was it in the flashback where the?
I think it might have been in the flashback.
Yeah. When the dude steals the food from you, and then you have to chase him down, and then you get it, and then you run into the, like, you close the door in the corridor, and he's trapped outside, and the police come and like zap him to death, and you like see the whole thing as like young, like middle, like, you know, like. Like middle school Zuri, and then you're just like, you're like in the elevator by yourself, and like there's like terrible elevator music playing in the background, and you're just like crying.
Yeah.
And that scene, dude, I love.
No one go back and listen to it, please. But no, I was genuinely crying and just like, breathing.
For sure.
And that was I don't know. Yeah, that was just an interesting scene, and then going up and, you know, going into like just the house with mom and no dad being out, and it was just a really emotional scene. And that was like a challenging one.
I called you after that. I do that a lot. I'll call a lot of Nate after he'll send me the clip, because I get to listen to him a little beforehand.
And he's special.
I guess so. Anyway, but then I'll call Nate. I'll be like, Nate, that flashback, that was really, she nailed it.
Yeah.
I remember saying that. I remember mentioning the shake in your voice. Mm-hmm. I could hear your emotion. I was like, I don't know.
Those were actual tears.
I think we were talking about you at the beginning, and we were like, man, she's so good at acting. Ridiculous how good she is.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you can just see. You don't even need to see her facial expression. You can see it in your mind, because it comes through.
Like, I can see your eyebrows.
We're going to keep bringing that up.
I think he's just jealous of your eyebrows. I think he's just jealous of your eyebrows.
You can raise one eyebrow.
No.
No, you cannot.
I cannot.
Well, you can sort of. There you go. This is great radio when we talk about things that people can't see.
It's like daily training. Go in the mirror and just do like eyebrow exercises every morning, and one day it'll just work.
It's true. Actually, that is very true. I was only able to do one for a really long time, and then I can do both now because I remember, this is going to be great for the audience. They're going to love this story. Not really. But I was spending the night at my friend's house, and I had to go sleep on the living room couch because... Okay, it wasn't a great friend. But anyway, I was laying there, and all I could hear that night was the clock going. So I started moving my eyebrow to that sound. And then I started doing, like, I wish I could do my other one. I was like, hold on.
Pinocchio.
So then I started, like, I'm doing it, guys, one at a time.
It's like lifting weights, but with your eyebrows.
It is. It's like working out your face.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Give yourself a facelift, you know? Work your eyebrows.
Have you guys ever tried that workouting? You can actually work your face out to get rid of
face yoga. Yes.
Yeah, face yoga. That's a thing.
What? Huh.
Yeah. Have you ever tried hot face yoga?
Yes.
I feel like I'm doing that right now.
Really? I just made that up. I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, it's kind of like. Maybe it's a natural thing, but no, I've definitely done that before. We're like in a hot room, and I'm just like.
Hot room.
Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, that my studio faces the sun on the second half of the day. So this studio is, like, super hot.
Not to mention it's 96 degrees outside today.
It's 96 degrees outside. And I have an air conditioner in here, but I don't want to have it on because it, like, makes the audio sound really bad. So we're, like, sitting in a non-air conditioned hot.
We're sitting in a sauna. Here. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're sitting in a
sauna. It's health day.
It's health day.
People have to usually pay for this.
Yeah.
We get it.
For free.
That's right.
Thank you, Nate.
And we get to share it as a team.
You're
team
welcome.
Team Bonding 101. Yes.
Oh man, so good. Yep, the girls are glowing nicely, and the guys are sweating like pigs.
I think the word's glisten.
Glisten. Yeah.
Glisten. Glisten, glimmer.
Good times. Anyone else got anything to say? Or go ahead, Megan. Drop that big, deep word of wisdom that you've had on the end of the tip of your tongue. Perfect. Okay. Sorry, I put her on the spot on purpose. That was mean.
Not unlike Sharp.
That's right.
I could talk forever, though. Because I never get to really see you guys.
They can turn this off whenever they want to.
Oh, and to be fair, you guys don't know this, but I haven't seen any of these people for a very long time, so I haven't got to record with them yet.
Yeah, I've never met you before.
Yeah, we just met today for the first time. This is Zuri and Sharp's very first time actually in person.
Yeah.
Historic.
So Sharp, let's start yelling at each other.
Sharp has hair.
You guys can't see it. That's what the audience wants to hear right now.
But Sharp has hair right now. Last time I saw Sharp, he didn't have hair.
It was his clean look.
It was a no. It was not a Christian at all.
He was trying to be aerodynamic.
I was trying to be aerodynamic.
Yeah, he was running a triathlon
faster. And bike faster.
Run higher. Jump faster. Wait.
Skechers.
I can jump really fast. It's not very high at all.
Run higher.
Oh, good times. Oh, and the first time I met Megan too. So this day.
Absolutely. It's nice getting everyone to go. We were going to do this over Zoom, and then, like, last minute yesterday, we were like, hey, let's meet up in person instead. It'd be fun.
It was more like, Nate's like, hey, so Sharp's going to come and hang out in person. And I was like, oh, yeah, me too. And he's like, I guess I'm ordering pizzas. And I felt kind of bad because I was like, I have money. Like,
to be fair, we did offer.
That's, I mean, you're not wrong.
Like, nah, we got
this. He did say that, so I brought the dew. You brought the cookies.
I brought the cookies. That's right.
I brought the commentary.
She brought the commentary. Megan obviously.
And Megan has her beautiful face and aura.
She brings us, she's the glue.
She's the smile, man.
Look, if you think of a s'more, she's the marshmallow.
Notice that every time she spoke, though, everyone was like super quiet.
That's what she's got to say.
No, it's just super important. They don't talk loud. No.
No, it's because what we want to hear,
she's saying something.
But like between Zuri and Mira, between Zuri and Alan, Mira really is the glue.
True.
Right? Because she's Zuri's friend, but then there's like a really fast romance develops between her and Alan
saying that, by the way.
Yes.
What does everyone hear? What do their parts play in the team? Like, who's the heart? Who's the mind? Who's the what do you got?
I almost say it's kind of hard to say because I think we all take turns. I think we all take turns depending on the different episodes, depending on the different feel and the different vibe.
Well, you took what I was going to say. I was going to say something really smart.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Objection to being a witness.
Objection. Yep.
They're definitely three-dimensional characters, which, it's an ensemble cast, right? I mean, like all four of these characters are kind of the main characters of the show. Mm-hmm. I'd say that, like, I think Zuri is really the heart of the story. She's like the original main character, right? And it's really a story about her, like, coming into her own and coming of age and, like, learning who she is and what that looks like in, like, the craziest of circumstances, right? Like, no Alethean's ever gone through all the things she's gone through. And so Zuri is kind of your all-around, like, difficult past, like, overcoming that. Going through adversity. Guys, I can't wait to show you what we're doing in season 3 with Zuri. It's gonna be so fun. She's gonna go from what she was in the beginning, like overconfident, arrogant, but wanting to do her best, but like really struggling. She's gonna go from that to like a true, like, straight up leader, and it's gonna be so fun. I can't wait. And we're getting there toward the end of season 2. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think Alan is the, like, relatable... He's such a relatable character because, he's kind of a lonely character. Mm-hmm. And then just out of nowhere, Zuri and Mira just come crashing into his life. And his life completely turns upside down and changes. Mm-hmm. And now he's breaking into Area 51.
I feel like
and finds the love of his life.
Yeah. I feel like he's what the audience would see. They're like, they're kind of living the story through him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's their view.
That's a really good, I would agree with that.
I kind of feel like each character is almost like a different representation of where people could be in their lives, where, you get comfortable and content in your life, mm-hmm. but you're searching for something else, then something comes in and changes absolutely everything.
Yeah, totally.
I just think it's really cool to see. And I really like how, even though Zuri is, I guess the heart and the main character, I like how everyone else's backstories... everyone else has a backstory. It's not just, oh my gosh, it's Zuri, it's also Sharp, it's mm-hmm. Mira, it's Alan. And, they all have their own stories. And I think it's really cool because I think that's what life is, Mm-hmm. You're the main character of your own life, but everyone else adds to it and has their own stories and adds to yours. So I think it's really cool.
Totally, totally. Like, on a functional level, like, Mira's the brain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Zuri's the head, she's the leadership. Alan's kind of the heart and, like, the sense of, like, the, like, more emotionally relatable character. And then Sharp's the muscle. you know, I mean,
I'm surprised
I mean,
he didn't go.
Like we bring Sharp,
so I don't know how to do that.
I mean, Sharp is what they needed. They needed someone who could stand up for them and fight for them.
Right.
You know, and because Zuri and Alan and Mira aren't soldiers, they're not fighters, they're not warriors. They're just
she took some
they're just kids.
Defense classes.
Well, that's yeah, I mean, I'm not.
Oh, like in real life? Oh, yeah.
Well.
I'm not.
I was also making Zuri, but that's good too.
Oh, okay.
I took basic combat training.
It's okay.
She tells Dash, "I took basic combat
training." That's what I was referring to.
yes. But like, and so they needed Sharp to really come in and kind of fill the gap of like.
Right.
But again, I just love that power dynamic of like Sharp's a leader too, but Zuri's a leader of his crew, and now Sharp's coming into his crew, and so I love how they butt heads, especially in this episode. But then that starts to kind of work itself out in its own ways, and yeah.
It's like the older generation kind of guiding the new generation of leaders, and I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, I kind of viewed it as, you know, I was like Alan was sort of a passive character, like kind of waiting for life to happen to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Zuri is kind of like the active version of that because she was making life happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And Mira kind of was the. Like the sleeper, like you knew that there was some, like you knew that she was in control of her own destiny, but like she was sort of like the middle of those two. Like she was sort of passive but sort of active.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of always viewed Sharp as like the vehicle that like all that stuff was going to be able to get. Like you can't get anywhere without the vehicle.
Yeah.
And like all that stuff being true, like you still needed a way to like make it make sense. And there's like no way that you were going to have Alan evolve into a character like Sharp, but there was no way you were going to have any of the other characters. You couldn't have Mira and, you know, or Mira and Zuri. You couldn't have them like swap spots or like be interchangeable. They each need like were necessary for the spot that they played. And I think that's what's so relatable is because each person might feel like a Zuri or like a me or like, you know, so it's like, it's just really cool to see that.
I like how they have each, like they have distinct personalities specifically. Yeah. It's also really cool. I think everyone's irreplaceable, you know, in some characters, some things. So, you know, if a person, you know, if a character leaves, sometimes it's like,
well, and then Sharp went and died.
Yeah,
like there's a whole episode where Sharp has no lines. I was like,
well,
he
got the least amount of views, I'm sure.
Safety point. Shoot! Oh shoot! What was it again? We did so many takes, like folio takes,
was
with
it?
Like dropping
that
like,
was all that was ad libbed too.
Yeah, that whole scene of like when I was trying to avenge you because I genuinely
when
can think back.
Avenge me!
Avenge me!
The Revengers!
He just like Ghost or Sharp in the background. Avenge me!
Like Batman, Batman's voice.
Avenge me! Where are the other drugs going? Find
where
out.
Are the other drugs going?
What are we doing, drugs? Where did this come in story?
I found two kids.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Brings me to my next point.
No affiliation.
No affiliation. With any drugs.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
You really cracked yourself up on that one.
I'm a dad at heart, okay? I'm still single, but I'm somehow telling dad jokes. It's cool.
He's still single and ready.
867.
He's an honorary dad.
5309.
I have a question. Why did you guys want to do Observe and Report? Like, was it just something like, oh, this is like a cool kind of pastime thing? Mm-hmm. Like, what was the reason why you guys decided, I'm going to try out for this character?
Yeah,
why did you try out for that character? And then why were you interested in the first place?
I know why I did it. So when Nate came to me, he said, hey, I've written a character.
You got a personal invite?
Yeah.
In person.
He said, hey, I'd like to try out
just
for
got
this
the Facebook one.
Well, yeah.
He's not mean, you're not playing
yours,
favorites.
It might have been
here,
hilarious. But, I mean. But he came to me and said, hey, I have a character that I've written that I think you would, you know, you should try out for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're interested in voice acting. And I was
right.
like, that sounds actually kind of fun. And like I had done I have a friend who I played in some of his short films, and so I've been exposed to this type of thing before.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, sure, like I'll give it a try. That sounds really fun.
Sure.
Gave it a try, and then after, like I said, reading out of the script, I was like, what the heck, dude? Like, this person is me. Like, this is weird. So I was like, I have to. And I was like, I don't know who else is trying out, but I'll, sure, let's just, you know, give it a go. I kind of feel like it was sort of rigged because, like I said, I feel like he wrote it for me. So, like, it would have been weird, like, listening to another person act what felt like me. So
there were no other contenders for that role. I I handpicked you for that. Yeah. I was like, Chris is going to be Alan.
He's like, no, you are Alan. he finds some like personal information. Like, I have your mom hostage, like in the story that I'm about to write, where like your mom's hostage. Uh-huh. Yeah, like I'm doing that in real life.
Dimitri's here. He's right here.
he's going to start pulling fingernails, like, straight up.
little dark, too fast, okay.
I crossed the line, sorry.
For Zuri's role.
He would have been a great Zuri.
Yeah. I mean, I would have had to cast someone else if you'd said no, which would have sucked. But yeah. I was like, when we were friends, I was like, he's gonna want to do this. Like, I knew you well enough to know. Like, yeah. I think Chris will be into this.
Yeah, know? it wasn't like any kind of. He didn't promise any kind of money. He didn't say like, oh, you're gonna be famous. It was like, this sounds really cool, and I kind of wanted to just help because you know Nate has some huge dreams, and like Nate's very talented. Right. And I was like, if I can even add like a tiny micro fraction of a percent of his success, like mm-hmm. I want to help him be successful. Yeah.
Right.
So
exactly.
Yeah.
Appreciate that very much.
That's you're gonna pay me for that. Alan
Olick. Yeah. Again, ladies, that's 8-6-7.
I'm not a big store at all.
Oh, dude. Oh, man. No, I appreciate you guys so much. And I mean, when we started this thing, like, I mean, I was like barely paying bills. Like, there was no budget for this. It was like. Right. Hopefully some people will be like interested in doing this with me and it's all just for fun. And I've gotten to the point now where I am able to pay a little bit, which feels really good as a producer.
Interesting.
That's messed up.
He's like, I have the 1099s approved.
My tax forms right here.
Oh man.
You signed.
It feels good to finally be able to pay a little bit. Not a lot, of course, but these guys are just so awesome for like doing this with me, and it's really, I mean, we're all just indie producers here.
Yeah, true.
And I feel like we've done really, really well for our budget of pretty much $0.
Yeah.
Compared to like other shows that are of comparable quality. That had like thousands of dollar budgets.
And if you're looking at the amount of time that's been put in as like money wise,
well, the feedback I get is the same. Like, people like this is local. Like, that's what the feedback I get is like, what? So,
why did you do have to report? Why did you decide
just for
to do it?
Just for everyone that's listening, if you can't see her eyes, she's looking at me. No, why did I do observe and report? Honestly. I got the Facebook invite.
We weren't close.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I think you just put it out on Facebook, right?
Yeah. We weren't. Yeah. I mean, exactly. I needed a lot of characters. This is a big show.
Yeah. So I mean, and to be fair, I really like acting. I enjoy doing that kind of stuff. I was in drama for a long time. Not that anyone can tell. And I don't overact at all. Like, I'm on stage.
Overreact? Yeah. That's a new vocabulary? What? I didn't. Right. What? Interesting lexicon. Okay.
So I like doing that. And then I got a little taste of the script. And the funny thing is, I was actually applying for Alan's role. So little did I know, there's not a chance I was ever going to get it.
really exposed yourself a few seconds ago, huh?
But yeah, when I read that, I was drawn towards Alan's role. Mm. But now that I have Sharp's role, now that I've seen he is a family man, and what I really like is that he was all about his family, but at the same time, as when we're talking about character development, mm-hmm. his character development is that he sees the new family he's going to be with. And he grows to care about them. I really like when he opens up with Alan in the car the first time. And he actually asks him, which I thought was a little off for Sharp's character at first, to be like, no, go ahead. I want to hear your story. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear what do you feel about these aliens and what's your
I thought you were looking for answers so that you could use it against me later, like you did earlier.
Maybe. Oops. Anyway, but I really enjoyed that because he was trying to get closer to these characters and he's realizing his place in this family. And that's what I enjoyed. So that's why I like the character of Sharp.
Yeah. Anyway, what about you, Megan?
What about you, Megan? No, you beat me.
What happened? I think, Nate, you texted me, and...
You got a personal invite, too. Yeah, that's cool.
Yes.
I'll
Nate personally texted me.
Okay.
And I think...
Did you get a personal text also?
Yes, we'll talk about it later.
Cool. He specifically went up to her in person. Okay, no, that's fine.
I'll talk about it in a second. It's Mira's turn.
Okay, sorry, Mira. Go ahead.
I think you said that you wanted me to try out for Zuri. And so I recorded those lines and sent them to you. And then you ended up picking Felicia, but you told me that it was going to be Mira. And I just remember, like, I don't know, I just remember thinking that it'd be a cool experience.
Right.
You know, it was something that I've never done before, and it just sounded like such a fun opportunity and a new experience to try out.
Yeah.
Nice. And it has been a great experience.
I remember reading Mira's lines and being like, that is definitely Megan.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you didn't come off like a Zuri. No. Like, not, no offense, but, like, your personality types are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
for the characters.
Not that you typecasted, but you guys.
Not that we were like handpicked.
Honestly, I can't imagine hearing anyone's voices playing anyone else.
I can't either.
That's fair. For all of your roles.
Yeah, agree. Yeah,
for sure.
I agree.
Can you imagine Alan trying to be a
trying to sharp?
Sharp? Can you imagine that?
Could we? I kind of just want to read Alan's lines now and
redefine
an episode with a recast.
We could.
Recast.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I realistically, I think you could do it. I think it's not whether we could do it, because I think we all can. It would just be really off. Because
it would totally be really off.
What would be fun is if we did that, but we still kept our personas. So we
so we're basically like making fun of each other.
Sharp can't say his lines and keep his persona.
But that would be
I can't really see Sharp going off on a scientific tangent.
No. Yeah, Sharp's too dumb.
He's more guns, family,
guns, sadness. Family, sadness, sorrow. I'm gonna brood over here.
So why I joined?
Yeah, so why did you?
Yeah, why did you join?
Felicia. Yeah, we were. Oh, that's so weird. I'm used to be calling Zuri when I'm around everybody.
Sorry, Zuri. My apologies.
So I believe we were at church, and Nate had just basically been talking about this before he even came up with the idea. Months before this was even like a, hey, we're going to do this, we had sat down and we had brainstormed and had kind of talked about this, and we had come up with a different kind of plot points. And then when it came to actually casting, he had kind of come up to me and was like, hey, is this something that you would be interested in? And it was, for me, I was in a place in my life where I was just having zero confidence in anything that I was doing, whether it was singing, whether it was leading in anything. And Nate's always been able to see something in me that I don't see in myself. And so he kind of took me here and had me record. I was very unconfident about the entire thing. I was really nervous, and I thought that I just wasn't going to get picked. And so when Nate did pick me, I kind of felt like it was almost a mistake, because I thought there were other people who were better fit for Zuri than I was.
False.
And so, but, you know, as time has gone on, like I said, Nate sees something in me that I don't see in myself. Mm-hmm. And so I get to grow along with Zuri. And it's been a really cool experience, and I'm really glad. You know, it was never like a, I agree, this was not with Chris/Alan, that it was never something that was, crowling. It was never something that was like, oh my gosh, yeah, we're going to get money, or oh my gosh, we're going to get fame. It was just something that was like, this is going to be fun with people that I don't know, and people who are going to become like a, you know, pretty big portion of my life. So I'm really grateful that I was chosen, and I love working with Nate, and I love being part of all of this. So,
I am so glad I chose you to be Zuri. Yeah, no, you blew me away. Like, I knew that you'd do a good job, but like, I wasn't expecting you to do as well as you've done. I was like, wow, she really is an actress.
Thank you.
Yeah. So,
I enjoy it a lot.
Again, you got the phone call. We talked about you.
I enjoy it a lot. So
yes, you guys want to try it?
Okay, so do it. Have to be Alan.
Do a scene.
If we open the door for like a second, will it ruin the audio?
Well, no, okay, you there can goes open. My clean pores.
All right. We're gonna do one scene with you guys swapping. So
okay. So are we just gonna go gender to gender?
Yeah. So
Alan
so
is sharp as Alan, then Mira and
Megan.
Jerry.
Yeah, Megan, Felicia.
I could. Yeah, that's fine.
All right, you guys ready for this?
Sure.
We'll okay. just
right, Alan, you're up next. You're up first.
If you can hand me the paper, I'm totally going to use that for a second.
Alan, you're up first.
Thank you.
If you mess up,
you're keeping the genders?
I'm keeping the genders
still? Okay.
Are we doing the whole in pain, leg impaled kind of thing going on? Are we doing the sounds?
You're impaled. You're in pain.
We have to hear your pain.
Oh, good. Okay.
And you're good.
I don't have to do it. You do have to be in shock that we have completely lost.
Am I using Sharp Tone, or are we doing, am I going to try and be Alan?
Be Alan. Yeah, I'm going to try to be you.
You get to be your original part.
Is everyone okay?
Oh my gosh, I don't have a list.
Is everybody okay?
Is that how you hear Chris? Is that what Chris sounds like in your head?
I am offended.
We're turning this back into a sauna right now. Shut.
Okay.
All right.
A million souls crying. Okay.
And it's all ours.
What just happened? Give us some context.
So this is the beginning of season 2, episode 1.
Oh, the crash.
The shuttle just crashed. Got shot down by the Phoenix. Right after Felicia just got done singing Mayday, and now here we are.
Oh.
Okay.
And ready and scene.
Is everyone okay?
I can't believe it.
We need to get out of here now. How do you get this door open?
Zuri, do you see Mira?
This isn't happening.
Mira, hey, are you okay?
Zuri, help me get this door open.
Why'd you put the cape on? Guys, Mira's hurt. It's okay, Mira. We've got you.
Come on.
Hey, both of you, Mira needs help.
We can deal with that later. We need to get out of here.
It's really bad. She can't walk like this.
Let me see. Zuri, the shuttle is gone. Let it go.
Come on.
We need to get this shrapnel out of her leg.
No. If you pull it out now, we won't be able to stop the bleeding. Leave it. Everyone just come out. It's fast.
It's really deep, guys. It's really deep in there.
Maybe if we get this debris cleared out, we can still fix the shuttle.
Take a look around, Zuri. It's scrap metal. If we stay here, we die. What we need now is an exit.
The controls are fried.
Is there another way out?
The ship is destroyed. It's over.
Some kind of emergency exit?
It doesn't matter.
Nailed it.
Zuri, snap out of it.
Don't you get it? We are never going to make it off this stupid planet! Yes.
There has to be something!
I told you, there's nothing!
Stand back!
Wait! Why would you think shooting the console would help? You're gonna get us all killed, man!
Well, it worked in Iraq or whatever that country is. Besides, I don't hear anyone else throwing any out right in.
Look at this dingus, there's fires now! Great work, geniuses!
And now the cabin is filling up with smoke.
Scene.
Are we gonna keep going? Okay.
Felicia didn't get very many lines.
That's okay.
She got some moans and groans in there.
I got a impaled leg.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I feel like that's why the script was written, because Rich is for you, and Nate's like, I know she's gonna hate this. I'm not giving her anymore.
Well, I think we covered that. Where you
guys
called and told her that she's gonna be moaning and groaning a lot.
I remember. Didn't we use that one thing where we took water and like went on the window and made that like little screech sound for something.
It's that flashback where Zuri's young Zuri and she's like a little kid and her dad comes into the room and he's like telling her he's leaving, mm-hmm. and she's up against the window, and so we had you like get against the window in the studio here to record that line.
Oh yes, mm-hmm. because I actually did rub my face and pull it down off of the because I helped you write that portion.
Felicia wrote that scene.
You use your face?
Yes, for the sound.
For because, the sound. Oh, the yes. hand wouldn't have worked for the sound?
No, because, okay, you have
to... That's dedication right yeah. there.
Okay, because when because she's little and she's putting her face up against the grass, she's like, the glass, and she's like, wow, and then she kind of just slides down, and so the hand didn't sound right, okay? It had to be the nose.
And I mean, to be fair...
In foleography, it's often not what you hear is not what you see.
That's true. And Megan did give up her leg for the shrapnel, so...
Yeah.
How is that healing, by the way?
Oh, it's still healing.
Are you still collecting?
That's why the jeans are ripped. You know.
Yeah. Ellen and I.
There you go.
That's why
I like how all of our actors have had to give so much
time.
It's just like I'll just edit it. It's fine. You didn't have to do any bruising or anything. You get thrown against the wall. Like I had to throw Ziri against the wall that one time.
I love it when I get to get mad at Sharp for, like,
yes.
It's great.
And I love getting mad at Zuri.
Yeah, it's great. It's a dynamic.
Equally great.
We turn the gain down to zero, and it's still too loud. It still clips.
But and I stand back. I do. I stand at the very back of the room, and we turn it to zero, and yeah.
It's great. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Ooh, what is a character you guys like outside of, like, the main group? Like, who's one of your, like, favorite characters?
Yes.
Barth is pretty good.
Love Barth.
I love Barth.
I also love Bartholomew.
He's annoying in the beginning, though. He's a little annoying in the beginning.
I did fall in love with the moment I heard Mika. Without a doubt. Mm. Done by Nate. And I'm not trying to brown nose. It sounds like I am, but I'm not. I loved that character. It made me laugh so hard.
Thank you.
What? How did you know about that?
The logs, Garrus.
I can't even do it.
It's Mika. So Mika is very based on Kramer from Seinfeld.
That's probably why I loved it so much.
I was channeling my inner Kramer. Absolutely. And Bartholomew is just me channeling all of my nerdness just like to the max. Like, how nerdy can I possibly be? And then that's how I write Bartholomew. Mm. It's fun. There's a little bit of a Bartholomew in all of us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
For sure. 100%.
What about you, Ellen? Or Chris?
Alice.
Yeah, Alice is my... So it's either Crowlin or Alice. I can't really decide. Guys. Anytime I need to know the name of a person, you guys know this about me. If you don't, whoever's listening, if I ever need to know your name and I have to recall it at that moment, I will forget, including my own mother. But who was the info aide to the aliens when they're looking for intel?
Was it Dash?
Dash, oh my gosh. Dash. I can't want to say Dexter, but yeah, Dash. Freaking love Dash.
I also really like Dash. Oh, but that's just because all the comments always ship Zuri and Dash together, and yeah. I think our voices sound really well together. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I agree.
I like mm-hmm. how little you have to, like, not much is said, but right. like, he seems like you can just fill in all the blanks. It's like easy to fill in the blanks with like who he is and like what part he plays.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
yeah,
I definitely. Really like
Yeah, it's hot here. We got to wrap this up. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. It's been real, and thank you sincerely for listening to the show. We wouldn't keep doing this if it wasn't for you guys supporting the show. So it means a lot, for real.
Yeah, let us know if you guys want us to do more things like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And
we can tell some of our most scary experiences, or possibly some of our greatest fears.
Yeah, maybe we'll do an Ask Anything episode.
Yeah,
like just get a bunch of like
A Q&A.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be great.
That would be really good.
Maybe we'll do it live.
Mm. We have to have comments, and we have to have people who are actually interested. So let us know if you're interested.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Stay safe out there.
We should say something cool at the end all together.
What should we say?
Excelsior. I don't know.
To infinity and beyond.
Nice.
No affiliation.
No affiliation.
What should we say?
The Alethians have a sign off. A goodbye. A hello.
Alethians signing.
Does anyone? Does anyone here know Zuri's serial number?
Ooh. No.
877 something. Even Zuri doesn't know her own thing. It's okay.
A-21579.
What is that for from, by
the way? A-20719.
I just made it up. Okay. Anyway, we gotta wrap this up.
We're gonna say Observe and Report out.
Observe and Report out.
All right, on three. 1, 2, 3.
Observe and Report out.
We didn't do it.
You guys didn't say it.
I did do it.
You did?
One more time.
One more time.
One, two, three.
Observer report out.
I was crossing the street when I met the love of my life. I chased after her. Nothing would stand in my way. Not the dog walker, nor the hot dog vendor. Finally reaching her, I asked, "What do you call that amazing smell?"
It's Gain Flings.
Gain Flings. My love had a name, but more importantly, it had a scent.
Fall in love with Gain Flings. Seriously good scent.
Try Gain Flings today with special savings at Family Dollar.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.